many of the debates going on in Washington, whether they be over the expiration of the Bush tax cuts, the possible shutdown of the government over a budget debate, or, of course, the recent debt ceiling arguments, has made Americans skeptical about both political parties. And what does that mean going into 2012? Well, there are a number of people thinking that at long last, independent voters will actually change the course of the presidential election. And we're going to take a look at Colorado's 4th Congressional District to help us answer questions about independent voters. Joining us now, Anna Sale, reporter for It's a Free Country. That's the politics website for our co-producer, WNYC Radio. Just returned for a reporting trip in Colorado. Good morning.
Good morning.
Also with us, Nancy Ross, Director of National Organizing for IndependentVoting.org. Good morning, Nancy.
Thank you, Celeste.
Anna, why, when you were looking into independent voters, why go to Colorado and why the 4th Congressional District?
Well, of course, Colorado was a swing state in 2008, and the 4th Congressional District is a swing district in this swing state. And there are more and more independent voters here. This district stretches from Wyoming to the north all the way to Oklahoma to the south along the eastern edge of Colorado. It includes college towns like Fort Collins, as well as a lot of agricultural communities. And it's been Republican. Republicans have had the edge in registration for a long time, but independents are really gaining here. In Larimer County, where Fort Collins is, there are actually more registered independents than either Democrats or Republicans.
Okay, so exactly, I mean, what is the mood of the voters there? Are they, as I just described, frustrated with politics or frustrated with one particular party?
They are frustrated with politics. I was there just the day the debt ceiling announcement was announced, the deal, and I said, well, how do you feel about things, how things are going in Washington? I heard words like, I'm sickened, it's a mess, it stinks, all this self-interest. And that was whether folks identified as liberal or conservative, just a real sense of a disconnect between what was happening in their lives and what was happening in Washington. And the other sense, the mood that I felt was a real sense of just exhaustion with the economy, a real sense that things had just not turned around. I talked to a guy named Derek Sears. He's 29 years old. He'd worked in construction and been laid off a series of times, moved to Fort Collins thinking that he was going to go back to school, go to a four-year college. This is what he told me.
This economy hasn't got any better. This economy sucks, right? Now they just announced that tuition's raised 20%. I started doing the math, and I can't afford it.
So he moved to this town thinking he was going to go to the four-year college. Instead, he's going to keep going to the community college because he can afford it.
All right, so if a lot of people are disgusted, as you say, with both political parties, what does that translate into when it comes to voting in the election?
Well, when I asked people how they identified politically, what was really interesting to me is whether they said, I'm a Democrat or a Republican. Almost every person said, but really, I'm an independent. I met many unaffiliated voters, but even folks who were still registered with parties said, I really think of myself as an independent. And what, as we talked, I really found that that was because they didn't identify with folks in Washington. They didn't identify with the Republicans in Congress. I talked to a guy named Ellie Durand in Greeley, Colorado, which is more of a Republican stronghold. And this is what he told me.
It's a tough call these days. I admit that he came in at a bad time, but just haven't seen much improvement since he's taken office.
And what do you think about the Tea Party?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
I'll leave it as that.
So he doesn't like what President Obama's been doing. He doesn't like what's been happening in Congress. He doesn't like the Tea Party. I asked him if he thought he was going to stay home in 2012, and he said, well, you know, no one's getting me excited. I might just do that.
All right. That is Anna Sale, who is a reporter for It's a Free Country, the politics website for our co-producer, WNYC. She's talking about her trip to Colorado's 4th Congressional District. And Nancy Ross, Director of National Organizing for IndependentVoting.org. You know, we've heard a lot about independent voters in the past. And no matter what, no matter how many people have said that they're independents, they usually end up voting for either a Democrat or Republican. Why would we expect it to be different in 2012?
Good morning, Celeste, and thank you for having me on. I mean, I think what you heard is what Americans all over the country are feeling, and I think that's why 40%, actually, the polls show 38% to 40% of Americans consider themselves independents. They don't like partisanship. They don't like the intransigence in Washington. They're sick and tired of a process that isn't working. And what we found that the issue isn't whether they vote for a Democrat or Republican, there aren't many choices, but whether they want to vote for the best candidate. They want to vote for someone who they think will change the process. But the process is so locked up. What we support is structural political reforms. We found that we're in the middle of a campaign right now that would open up the process to independents. Once people become independents, they find that they're locked out. Many states, like in Colorado and other states, independents can't vote in primary elections.
Yeah, well, that's Nancy Ross of the National Organizing IndependentVoting.org. But Nancy, you know, agreeing that you don't like politicians doesn't translate often into a political movement. I mean, if that's all that you can agree on. So what can you rally people behind? I mean, do you actually choose candidates or do you just try to educate them?
Well, what we found, what unites independents together is structural political reforms, wanting to change the process, wanting to open it up for more participation. Because as we saw in the deficit debacle, we can't impact as Americans. There's nothing we can do to change the process. So let me give you examples, like an open primary. People want to vote for the best candidate rather than the party. Even in some open primary states, independents can't vote. They have to choose a Democratic ballot or a Republican party. They want solutions like top two, or nonpartisan elections where you vote candidate rather than party. In two states, the right wing of the Republican Party are actually suing to close the primaries down. Another example, the Federal Election Commission, what oversees our elections. It's made up of three Democrats and three Republicans. We're calling on Obama to support an independent or two to appoint them to the Federal Election Commission. Many election commissions and election administrations can only have Democrats and Republicans on them. It's time to put independents on them. In many states, independents have to register to vote in terms defined by the parties. Listen to these terms: unenrolled, undeclared, undeclined, declined. So we're calling on Congress to hold hearings.
Unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there. Nancy, obviously a long list of things independents can unite on, I guess. Nancy Ross of IndependentVoting.org and Anna Sale with It's a Free Country, part of our website for our co-producer, WNYC Radio. Thanks to both of you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.